This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
ومن يضلل فلا هادي له واشهد ان لا اله الا الله وحده لا شريك له واشهد ان محمدا عبده ورسوله يا ايها الذين امنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن الا وانتم مسلمون فان اصدق الحديث كتاب الله سبحانه وتعالى وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار أما بعد. My dearest brothers and youngsters, it is a pleasure to have you all here for a few moments to listen to this khutbah. I ask you to pay attention, and if you have your devices in front of you, please put them on. Do not disturb or turn them off. Jazakumullahu khairan. I'm sure you have heard of the verse in Surah At-Teen, where Allah says, وَلَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي أَحْسَنِ تَقْوِيمٍ. Truly we created human beings in the best form. And this word in Arabic, أَحْسَنِ تَقْوِيمٍ, it refers to Allah creating us with the best form in terms of our bodies, in terms of our limbs, in terms of our organs, and being better than every other creature that Allah has created. But part of having the best form is also having the best form of intellect, having the best aql. This mind that Allah has given us is also part of His gift to us by giving us the best version of it. Now, the reason why Allah tells us that I gave you this is in order that you give thanks. And you say, Alhamdulillah, Allah, you chose me to have this body and this form and this mind. And what happens next is you say thank you to Allah. You appreciate that. How do you appreciate the blessings of Allah? Besides saying Alhamdulillah, the way you appreciate a blessing of Allah is you take care of it. If I gave you something and you said thank you and then you destroyed it, that wouldn't be a very genuine form of thanks. So what I'm trying to say, my brothers, is that this mind that Allah gave us, it is something that we must take care of. And it's something we must look after, not neglect. And that is why it is very sad to see that many Muslims fail to take care of their mental well-being. Did you know that in this country, around 1 in 4 people suffer from some type of mental health illness? It could be anxiety, depression, a phobia, panic disorder, post-traumatic stress disorder, and anything else. 1 in 4 people. That's a lot of people. And in 2018, in this country, according to the NHS, more than 70 million prescriptions for antidepressants were issued. More than 70 million. And as a pharmacist, I know that the problem is not in other communities. It is part of every community. And Muslims are affected by it probably just as much as anybody else. And that is why, subhanAllah, when you see the effect of not having a strong mind, of having a compromised state of mental well-being, how it affects your worship of Allah and your ability to be close to Allah, you recognize this is actually a big problem if I don't look after it. For example, not too long ago, a young brother approached me and he said, you know, Shaykh, I have this very bad problem. I said, what is your problem? He said, I'm always anxious about my ghusl, whether my bath is acceptable to Allah. And so I spend a long time in the bathroom. I said, okay, how long do you spend? He said, to do one ghusl takes me 1 hour. And then I said, okay, this is a problem. He said, no, I haven't finished. Actually, I take 4 ghusls every day. I said, subhanAllah, 4 hours in the bathroom? He said, yes. Because I'm always anxious that, you know what, did I wash this part properly? Is this part clean? And then my salah is not going to be accepted. And so I go back and forth, back and forth. And I said, look, this is exactly what shaitan wants to do. Play with your mind. Create anxiety inside of you so that you feel like maybe my salah is not really acceptable to Allah. And then slowly becomes so difficult to live up to that supposed expectation that you feel like, you know what, maybe I shouldn't pray after all. Maybe I should just give up. But subhanAllah, I said to him, haven't you heard Allah said, يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ بِكُمُ الْيُسْرُ وَلَا يُرِيدُ بِكُمُ الْعُسْرُ. Allah wants ease for you. He doesn't want hardship. Do you really think Allah would demand this much of us? To spend 4 hours in the toilet every day? He said, no. Now, subhanAllah, this young guy who was studying medicine, intelligent, and yet he's suffering from this. Why? Because there's something not right up here. Suffering from some type of mental health illness. We know that our Prophet ﷺ said, "Al-mu'min al-qawi khayru wa ahabbu ila Allah min al-mu'min al-da'if wa fi kulli khayr." He said that the strong believer is better and more beloved to Allah than a weak one. Though in all of them there is goodness. What does it mean to be a strong believer? Does it mean just to have, you know, strong muscles, have nice biceps? No. It is also about your spiritual strength, how strong you are spiritually. But also, part of being a strong believer is being strong up here. Having a strong mind. Having the ability to weather difficulty and hardship and tragedy. And that is why our Prophet ﷺ, he went through so much hardship and tragedy in his life. Did you know that the 10th year of his mission was called the year of sorrow and hardship? Aam al-Huzn. Because in that year, he lost his wife Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha. He lost his uncle Abu Talib, who was his biggest defender and supporter. And then to top it all off, he went to the people of Taif to seek help, and they rejected him in the most obnoxious of ways. All of those three tragedies hit him in one year, and that rocked him. And that was very difficult for him. But subhanAllah, did he crumble? Did he end up despairing? No, he managed to continue on his mission. Why? Because he was strong mentally. And that is the example that we should follow. To be able to understand that, you know what, something is not right with my mind. I'm always worried, always anxious. I should speak to someone about this. And you know, subhanAllah, having a mental health issue is not too different to having a physical illness. For example, if one of us were to fall and break our arm, would we say to ourselves, it's not a big deal, don't worry about it, I'll just go home and sleep it off? We wouldn't. We would say, I think I've broken my arm, I need to go to the hospital and get an x-ray and see what's going on. Why is it then, if somebody is suffering mentally, constantly in their mind there is an issue, that they say to themselves, it's not a big deal, you know, why should I speak to someone about it? I don't need to get any help for this. Especially if it is troubling you every other aspect of your life. This is not a joke, subhanAllah. It affects you. And then what happens is that I know people that become old. They become fathers and mothers, and they say, you know what? When I was young, I used to suffer from this issue, but I never dealt with it. And now it's become such a big problem in my life. Somebody may say, look, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who did he used to get counseling from? Who did he used to get reassurance from? He didn't need anyone to speak to about his mental health. You haven't read the Quran. In the Quran, Allah spoke to the Prophet ﷺ in a way that he counseled him and reassured him. Have you not read Noon wal qalami wa ma yasturun ma anta bi ni'mati rabbika bi majnun? Allah said, you are not, by the grace of your Lord, a madman. Why did Allah have to say that to him? إِنَّكَ لَعَلَىٰ خُلُقٍ عَظِيمٍ. Rather, Allah said, you are a man of the greatest character. Why? Because everyone was pointing fingers and saying, you're a madman, you're crazy, you don't know what you're talking about, you're a poet, you're a liar. And that affected the Prophet ﷺ. It got to him. And Allah reassured him, no, that is not true. You are better than you even think of yourself, subhanAllah. So our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to be reassured by Allah, by Jibreel, by his friends and his companions. In the very same way, my brothers, there's no shame in speaking to someone about your mental health. Especially if your aim is to fix yourself up here so you can be a stronger believer. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us understanding and help us to rise above these challenges. Allahumma ameen. وَقُولُ قَوْلِ هَذَا وَاسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ لِي وَلَكُمْ وَلِسَائِرِ الْمُسْلِمِينَ فَاسْتَغْفِرُوهُ إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء المرسلين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين أما بعد. I'm sure many of you have a friend or a relative who they follow online. And this friend or this relative seems to have the perfect life. They wear the best clothes, they go to the nicest places, and it's as if they have no problems in their life. And as you see each post coming onto your screen, you start to think about your own life and you compare yourself and you say, you know what, my life isn't that great. I don't have all of these nice things. I'm not happy like this person all the time. And you start to think less of yourself and you become bitter. And the hasad, the jealousy starts entering into your heart. Has that happened to anyone? Where they become jealous of their friends or their family because they compare their lives to theirs. Now recently I came across a study where they linked jealousy to depression. And they said that when a person feels so jealous of somebody else, they start to say, my life is so unfair. And when they believe their life is unfair and they don't have it that good, then they start to despair and end up becoming depressed. So subhanAllah, our Prophet ﷺ told us, beware of jealousy. He told us that jealousy devours your good deeds like the fire devours wood. He told us to be aware of this. He told us not to become jealous. So my advice to you, my brothers, is that if you feel depressed, maybe it's because you're always comparing your life to somebody else's. And maybe you're always in a position to do that because you're always online, on social media, looking at other people's lives. If you're going to compare yourself to anyone, compare yourself to yourself. How were you yesterday? Be better than you were yesterday. Don't be jealous of other people. And if you feel jealous, you know what you should do? Make dua for that person. Oh, Allah, increase them in that. And you're thinking, well, I don't even feel like saying that. I feel like saying, Allah, take that away from him. No, say, Allah, give him more. You know why? Because the Prophet ﷺ told us that when you make dua for your brother, an angel comes and says, Allah, for him as well. SubhanAllah. So you're using that jealousy to get an angel to make dua for you. SubhanAllah. This is how we rise above these problems. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us understanding. And the last piece of advice. Know that for every illness, whether physical or mental or spiritual, Allah has told us that the Qur'an is the cure. وَنُنَزِّلُ مِنَ الْقُرْآنِ مَا هُوَ شِفَاءٌ وَرَحْمَةٌ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ Allah says, and we sent down, in terms of the Qur'an, that which is a cure and a mercy for the believers. So when you feel down, open the Qur'an and recite out loud. Allow those words to purify your heart and to remove those worries. May Allah make the Qur'an the source of happiness in our lives. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala remove the feelings of jealousy from our hearts. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us a strong state of mental well-being. Allahumma ameen. Rabbana zalamna anfusana wa illam taghfir lana wa tarhamna lanakunanna min khasirin. ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من